Hamelin Towns in Brunswick, by famous Hanover City. The River Weser, deep and wide, washes its walls on the southern side. A pleasanter spot you never spied. But they had rats. Rats, yes, rats. They fought the dogs and killed the cats and bit the babies in the cradles and ate the cheeses out of the vats and licked the soup from the cook's own ladles, split open the kegs of salted sprats, made nests inside men's Sunday hats, and even spoiled the women's chats by drowning their speaking with shrieking and squeaking in 50 different sharps and flats. At last, the people in a body to the town hall came flocking. Do something now, came the shout, or the mayor and corporations out. An hour they sat in council. At length the mayor broke silence. Gilder, I'd my ermine gown sell. I wish I were a mile hence. Just as he said this, what should hap at the chamber door but a gentle tap? Bless us, cried the mayor, what's that? Come in, the mayor cried, looking bigger, and in did come the strangest figure. His queer long coat from heel to head was half of yellow and half of red, and he himself was tall and thin, with sharp blue eyes each like a pin, and light loose hair, yet swarthy skin, no tuft on cheek nor beard on chin, but lips where smiles went out and in. There was no guessing his kith and kin, and nobody could enough admire the tall man in his quaint attire. Quoth one, it's as if my great-grandsire, starting up at the trump of doom's tone, had walked this way from his painted tombstone. He advanced to the council table, and, please your honours, he said, I'm able, by means of a secret charm, to draw all creatures living beneath the sun, that creep, or swim, or fly, or run, after me, so as you never saw. And I chiefly use my charm on creatures that do people harm, the mole, the toad, the newt, the viper, and people call me the Pied Piper. And here they noticed round his neck a scarf of red and yellow stripe, to match his coat of the selfsame check, and at the scar's end hung a pipe, and his fingers they noticed were ever straying, as if impatient to be playing. "If I can rid your town of rats, will you give me 1,000 guilders?
1? 50,000!
Was the exclamation of the astonished mayor and corporation. Into the street the piper stepped. Smiling first a little smile, as if he knew what magic slept in his quiet pipe the while. Then, like a musical adept, to blow the pipe his lips he wrinkled, and green and blue his sharp eyes twinkled, like a candle flame where salt is sprinkled. And ere 3 shrill notes the pipe uttered, you heard as if an army muttered, and the muttering grew to a grumbling, and the grumbling grew to a mighty rumbling, and out of the houses the rats came tumbling. Great rats, small rats, lean rats, brawny rats, brown rats, black rats, grey rats, tawny rats, grave old plodders, gay young friskers, fathers, mothers, uncles, cousins, cocking tails and pricking whiskers, families by tens and dozens, brothers, sisters, husbands, wives, followed the piper for their lives. From street to street he piped advancing, and step by step they followed dancing, until they came to the river Besser, wherein all plunged and perished. You should have heard the Hamelin people ringing the bells till they rocked the steeple. "Go," cried the mayor, "and get long poles, poke out the nests, block up the holes, consult with carpenters and builders, and leave in our town not even a trace of the rats." When suddenly, up the face of the Pied Piper perked in the marketplace, with, "A first, if you please, 1,000 guilders. "1,000 guilders?" The mayor looked blue. So did the corporation too. For council dinners made rare havoc with claret, moselle, van de grave, hock. And and half the money would replenish their cellar's biggest butt with Rhenish. To pay this sum to a wandering fellow with a gypsy coat of red and yellow. Beside, quoth the mayor with a knowing wink, our business was done at the river's brink. We saw with our eyes the vermin sink. What's dead can't come to life, I think. So, friend, when not the folks to shrink from the duty of giving you something for drink, and a matter of money to put in your poke. But as for the guilders, what we spoke of them, as you know very well, was in joke. Besides, our losses have made us thrifty. 1,000 guilders? Come, take 50. The piper's face fell, and he cried, no trifling, I can't wait. How, cried the mayor, do you think I'll brook being worse treated than a cook, insulted by a lazy ribald, with an idle pipe and vesture piebald? You threaten us, fellow? Do your worst. Blow your pipe there till you burst. Once more he stepped into the street, and to his lips again laid his long pipe of smooth, straight cane. And ere he blew 3 notes, such sweet, soft notes as yet musician's cunning never gave the enraptured air. There was a rustling that seemed like a bustling of merry crowds jostling at pitching and hustling. Small feet were pattering, wooden shoes clattering, little hands clapping and little tongues chattering. And, like fowls in a farmyard when barley is scattering, out came the children running, all the little boys and girls with rosy cheeks and flaxen curls. Dumb, and the council stood as if they were changed into blocks of wood, unable to move a step or cry, to the children merrily skipping by, and could only follow with the eye. That joyous crowd at the piper's back, and now the mayor was on the rack, and the wretched council's bosoms beat as the piper turned from the high street to where the Weser rolled its waters right in the way of their sons and daughters. However, he turned from south to west, and to Koppelberg Hill his steps addressed. And after him the children pressed. Great was the joy in every breast. He can never cross that mighty top. He's forced to let the piping drop, and we shall see our children stop. When lo, as they reached the mountain side, a wondrous portal opened wide, as if a cavern was suddenly hollowed, and the piper advanced. And the children followed. And when all were in to the very last, the door in the mountain side shut fast. Did I say all? No. One was lame, and could not dance the whole of the way. And in after years, if you would blame his sadness, he was used to say, "It's dull in our town since my playmates left. I can't forget that I'm bereft of all the pleasant sights they see, which the piper also promised me. For he led us," he said, "to a joyous land, joining the town and just at hand, where waters gushed and fruit trees grew, and flowers put forth a fairer hue. And everything was strange and new. The sparrows were brighter than peacocks here, and their dogs outran our fallow deer, and honeybees had lost their stings, and horses were born with eagle's wings. And just as I became assured my lame foot would be speedily cured, the music stopped, and I stood still and found myself outside the hill, left alone against my will, to go now limping as before." And never hear of that country more. Alas, alas for Hamlin! The mayor sent east, west, north, and south, to offer the piper by word of mouth, wherever it was men's lot to find him, silver and gold to his heart's content, if he'd only return the way he went, and bring the children behind him. But then they saw 'twas a lost endeavor, and piper and dancers were gone forever.